Y'all doing good? Yeah, me too. What a great morning. As Josh mentioned, this is week number two in our Family on Board series. We have talked about men on board last week, this week women. Next week we're going to start a little sub-series in marriage, and we're going to talk about parenting and children. And today specifically, since we're talking about women on board, I had to step up my game a little bit. So hope it's all right. I wore a suit. Some of y'all didn't know I even owned one. Yeah. I'm about to be joined on stage by a very beautiful woman, so I had to, you know, I don't want to be showed up. That's the honest truth, all right? So that's good. Lisa's gonna jump up here in just a couple of minutes. But yeah, last week we talked about men on board, and if you were here with us, you know that we were in the book of, what was it again? Oh, man, y'all got to do better than that. What book of the Bible? Proverbs. Awesome. Good. Yes. And we kind of used this fishing equipment to show that while Proverbs is just this amazing book of wisdom in the Bible, that we can throw a line in and fish out the best ones. And that we did last week with our men on board. So you can go ahead and turn in the book of Proverbs if you want, kind of thumb through there a little bit. And if you remember, it's in our Old Testaments. So you can kind of help your neighbor find the book of Proverbs today. You'll remember that it was written, or most of it was written or collected by a man named Solomon. Good. All right. Just got to test you a little bit. All right. Solomon. Yes. And it wasn't just Solomon, but he collected the wisdom of some other men too. And we read their words in Proverbs, men like Lemuel. And Lemuel actually wrote Proverbs 31, which we'll be taking a look at here in just a couple of minutes. And I love Proverbs. I hope that you're falling in love with it too as you're reading through it with us. How many of y'all are reading it with us? Hopefully you're in the right reading plan, checking it out. Yep, it's been pretty amazing. This is a collection of godly wisdom for a godly life. And as we remember from last week, it's a book full of probabilities, okay, and principles, not prophecies and promises that always are guaranteed to happen, but they tend to be true. In fact, God gave them to us as a gift so that we would have wisdom, insight, knowledge. It says that in the very first verse of Proverbs. It says, Proverbs of Solomon for gaining wisdom and instruction, understanding the words of insight. Verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We don't despise wisdom instruction. We want wisdom. We want to know what that is. We want to know what God's words are. And that's why Proverbs is so incredible. That's why it just kind of jumps off the pages. All this practical knowledge, we can read through it. We can take it into our regular everyday life. And today's message is about women on board. And we're going to see and celebrate how Proverbs just shows us what biblical womanhood really, really looks like. And I'm pretty excited to hear about that, and I hope you are too. But first, a word to the men, all right? Those of us, man, we're here today. We are so glad you're here. You need to know that. This is a place where we're rising to the challenge and being the men who God called us to be, and we want to do that today. So I want to encourage you to listen and to try to understand and relate and hear what God is saying to you as men. So be the servant leaders in Christ who we're called to be. And that can start by doing this very simple thing. All right, you ready? All right. Do not nudge the lady next to you today. All right. None of this. that's you. All right. In fact, a word of advice, and this isn't in Proverbs, okay, but a word of advice. If you're in doubt, just stare straight ahead. All right. Don't say a word. You might even earn a few points along the way. All right. Don't know how that's going to work out, but I want to encourage you to do that. And single guys, man, this is for you as well. It is great to be single. The Bible celebrates singleness. But if you're interested in getting married one day, listen to the words of Proverbs, because this is I don't want to say a checklist, but this is something that you can listen to and be the men God called you to be, and to pray for her and wait for her and be who God needs you to be and wants you to be as you do so. In fact, Proverbs 31, which we'll look at, was written for women, but in a way, but it was also written to men. In fact, it says this, a wife of noble character, who can find? You want to go looking? Go looking. It's going to be a hard search, but it's worth it. In fact, it says far more than rubies. It's worth far more than rubies. At the end of the book, it says, honor her for all that her hands have done and let her works bring praise at the city gate. So yeah, guys, we want to do that today, but I also want to just, women, you are amazing. You are incredible. And God says to praise you at the city gate, and that's what we're going to do today. We're going to praise God for you, for who you are. As I mentioned last week, being men means that we are to respect the gifts that God has given us or put around us in life. That's what being a man's all about. And you know what? You are the greatest gift that God could possibly have given us outside of his son. So women, give it up for yourself. Well, guys, give it up for the women in the room. I mean, you are a gift from God. And we're to respect that gift. Genesis 2 says it's not good for man to be alone. Amen. I will make a helper suitable for him. And verse 23 says she is called woman. So we thank God for his gift of women. To us, to our planet, to this place, we thank God for you. And we are to honor you, not disrespect ever or misuse or abuse the gift that God has given us. No matter what society says, you are to be respected and honored with dignity every day. The Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 3, Paul says, in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, there is male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. One in Christ. Equal in value. Now you are distinctly different than us. Newsflash, men and women are different. Our roles are distinctly different. The Bible is very clear about that. And all through the Bible, we see women just being celebrated and lifted up. We see them through God's eyes. You are loved. You are esteemed. We see good examples. We see bad examples that we can learn from. We see young women and old women, single women. This is for you today. And married women alike. From Eve in the garden to the women who sit in this place today, you are the greatest gift, and we love you, and we're so glad that you're here. So hear me, please. And I pray that you'll just hear our hearts. God loves you for who you are. For who you are. Not what you want to be or think you should be. God loves you for who you are. You are a daughter and a princess of the King. God himself. He loves you, and we love you here at this church. I personally am proud of the way that I see you serving God and loving others as you do so right here in this place. You are my personal heroes. I look up to the way that you love the Lord and you love your families and you serve around here. I see you encouraging each other, praying for each other. When you're down, you get back up. There's not a perfect woman in this place, and there's not a perfect woman in the Bible. But man, I see you getting up close to Jesus and being and trying to be who he called you to be, just like Titus chapter 2 says. Older women, you're living the lives of wisdom. My heroes, you fear God, and you're not ending up like a gossip or a drunk. That's not you. You're models of goodness. And because of you, the younger women know how to love their husbands and their children and be virtuous and pure and keep a good house and be good wives. Isn't that your prayer this morning? Isn't that what we all want? It's an honor to do life with you as women on board here at CCW. So today, for the next couple minutes, we're just going to learn from Proverbs together about what biblical womanhood looks like. And you're thinking, what do you know about womanhood, man? You're just a dude up on stage in a suit, right? Okay, that's why I am proud to, couldn't think of a better person to help us with this message today than our women's discipleship leader, Lisa Caputo. I'm going to invite Lisa to the stage. Now, I happen to think that our women's discipleship leader is the most beautiful woman in the world and the greatest mom and wife in the world, and she is my wife. So if you're new here today, I don't talk this way about everybody, all right? This is, what are you doing?
I am moving your stuff.
You're moving my stuff.
Yes.
Nothing new there.
Kind of looks like at home, doesn't
good?
It? Yes.
Now invite Lisa up here to talk. Yeah, okay, go ahead. I see the flowers on stage too. That was also her idea, all right? It's good. Look, I didn't invite Lisa up here because she's my wife. I invite her up here because I get to live life with her every single day, and I truly, truly get to see her loving the Lord with all of her heart, with all that she is. And it just amazes me to watch her relationship with Jesus and to be able to live that out next to her every single day. It's an honor for me. And I'm just looking forward to seeing and hearing what she's going to say to you today about biblical womanhood. Lisa, you ready? Fixing everything?
I am ready. Right, the good. Table is set.
Awesome.
Good morning. You guys are a lot out there. Wow. We're just going to jump right in because you guys... This morning, as biblical womanhood, as we talk about this, we're going to talk about gardens and picking through Proverbs, and we're going to start with the weeds. Now, how many of you girls are gardeners? How many of you love pulling weeds? I just shut my eyes when I go out into my garden and see all the weeds that need pulling. We're going to start there, though, because...
Sorry about that.
We need to pull some weeds out of our garden. We need to talk frankly about the things that we need to get rid of before we talk about what we need to pick, because sometimes these weeds, they drown out the flowers, and they drown out the weeds in our life will drown out the flowers that God has in store for us. So it says the wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down. So are you ready? Because we're going to look at some really interesting and fun slides. So let's go.
All right. First one is Proverbs 11:22. Like that? As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion.
Girls, discretion is defined as the quality of behaving or speaking in such a way to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. Discretion from our mouths, how we speak when we're not here, how we speak to one another, to the women around us. It's funny that the message says, a beautiful face on an empty head. Whew, not my words. Words of scripture.
Yep. Proverbs 12:4, a wife of noble character is her husband's crown, but a disgraceful wife is like decay in his bones.
I want you to know we saved you on this slide because I wanted a really nasty decayed bone to make this point, but we decided it's Sunday morning, you're hungry, you got to eat lunch. So we'll just keep the x-ray.
Yeah, for sure. Proverbs 27:15, a quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of a leaky roof in a rainstorm.
How many can't stand that dripping? You've got to turn it off. And ladies, if you're quarrelsome, if you're contentious, if you're causing dissension and contention in your home, it is like a dripping roof.
Yep. Bible says something else about a quarrelsome wife in Proverbs 21:9.
My favorite.
Better to live on the corner of a roof than to share a house with a quarrelsome wife.
He is so thankful I'm not quarrelsome, right? Because I was scared for him to even get up there. Our neighbors think we're crazy. So if you do live in Regency Oaks, just let the people around you know that those people on Flyway are not nuts. They don't climb up on the roof all the time. But same thing. It's better to live on the corner of a roof, man, than with a quarrelsome wife. So think about it.
Yeah, it was a rough day right there.
Not so, do you want to keep?
No, I'm good. Go.
So let's begin. Let's just begin by taking a hard look at our lives and pulling out those weeds of gossip, no discretion, slander, quarreling, nagging, comparing, all those things that between us and our God that we know that we have to weed out so that he can start planting in us these beautiful flowers of the things, of the words of wisdom that we're going to look at next. So here we go. When I talk to women about biblical womanhood, the first thing they said to me was Proverbs 31, right? Now, if you're like me, Proverbs 31 woman has not always been my friend, especially as a young woman. Because as a young woman, as a young mom, as a baby who didn't sleep all night, I pick up Proverbs 31 and I have this list of all my inadequacies. I don't get up early in the morning. I don't trade with merchant ships. I don't make coverings for my bed. I don't. Well, I'm going to just shut Proverbs 31, right? She's too much. But I will tell you that I think whether it's age coming on me or Pinterest, we have learned that we might could do all of these things. I can make coverings for my bed now because Pinterest says I can.
Yeah, the reason I spend time on the roof isn't because she's quarrelsome. It's because there's literally no room in my house to do stuff.
Oh, we digress. Welcome to our kitchen table.
I have my own space.
All right, let's go. Space. Let's go with these. Let's start picking through Proverbs.
Proverbs 31:10. It's a rare find. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies.
My grandmother and my mother are rare finds. My grandmother, as a little girl growing up in Kentucky, she was joyful, she was laughter, she was fun, and she was silly. And she could make biscuits and gravy like nobody's business. And a Sunday dinner she would throw together. It was like, I think she just moved her nose and dinner happened on Sunday afternoons. Even now I go home and I go, what do we got for leftovers? Because my grandmother had bologna salad and all kinds of wonderful things. She raised a daughter who was my mother as a woman that even now I look back and think she didn't gossip. She wasn't negative about other people or herself. She never talked about body image. She wasn't perfect, but she was beautiful. And those things, that rare, virtuous woman, I am thankful for today. Because, girls, this rarity will be different from the majority of the women in the world. I think you already know that. That to be able to hold our tongues and to rein in our things that we say and to not speak the way the world speaks is difficult. So that's a rare woman. The rare woman has her security in God, keeps a tight rein on her tongue, and guards herself against negative comments against herself and against other women. A rare woman is one you can feel safe around when you're in her presence. In the midst of the chaotic, crazy world, she's not drowning. She knows her tomorrows belong to God, and because of this, she is free to live today. Girls, this does not happen overnight. This is cultivated just like those gardens and just like we work them through the seasons. Young women, single women, married women, older women, this is all for you. Rarity is something we all can look at. And yes, you may not be there right now, but as if you keep cultivating, you keep putting yourself in these places, you're going to find it. God's made it clear.
And she works hard. Proverbs 31:17. She sets about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for her tasks.
Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work with all your heart as working unto the Lord. Girls, whether you are a stay-at-home mom, hear me. Whether you are a CEO of a company, a nurse, anything that you do, work with all your might. Stop comparing. Stop saying this one's right and this one's wrong. We are all working hard as unto the Lord in the role for the season that he's given us.
And she loves her family. Proverbs 31:11-12. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Verse 21. Says, when it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet.
Again, don't get caught up in these verses. Don't get caught up in the to-do list. Just look at the fact that she loves her husband and her family with all of her heart. That's what we see in this Proverbs 31, loving her family, is that same thing. And Titus 2 reminds us of that in the New Testament because it says older women, teach the younger women how to do this. Teach them how to love their husbands and love their kids and do those things.
echoes. And she meets the needs of others. Proverbs 31, verse 20. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. I got that wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to get to the husband respected in the city gate part. I'm sorry.
Just come back.
She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy.
This is basically, girls, just be aware. Be aware of those around you. I know one thing, the story I like to think about when I think about this is we were sitting outside of a Dollar Tree and Joe went in to get something. And I watched probably 20, 25 women, men, children go in and out of this Dollar Tree without a smile to each other, without a thank you for holding the door. You know, someone would hold the door and the person would walk in. And I'm just sitting there going, I wanted to roll down my window and go, hey, thank you for holding that door for that person. But be aware of those needs around you. They may be a neighbor you don't know. They may be a sister in Christ that needs your attention. They may be your kids and your husband. So take some time to even unplug and be aware of the needs of others.
Yep. She meets the needs of others. She also takes care of herself. Proverbs 31, 22 says she makes coverings for her bed and she is clothed in fine linen and purple.
This, girls, culture is about our outsides. It's about making sure you look a certain way, your body's a certain way. And this is, I want to talk about cultivating your insides because that's where your true identity and your true security in Christ comes from. Is that cultivation. It's not about our fine lines and wrinkles. It's not about every gray hair that comes in. It's not about the extra weight we may put on or take off. It is about our time with God. And men and children, I'm gonna say one thing. She's not your maid. She's not your chauffeur. She's not your cook. She is your mother and your wife. And she does these things more than likely because she loves you and she loves serving you. But remember, especially husbands, help her find that time with the Lord. Help her find time to be in quiet so that she can cultivate herself. The last thing on that is, girls, don't run yourself into the ground. You're going to end up struggling to serve with joy, become snippy, negative, because your heart is overworked. Find and keep margin that you may answer those hard questions. And listen, some of your boundaries that you need to place on things are good things. You may have a wealth of good things that are just working you into the ground. So think about those things. Take stock of the good stuff even and make time and bring margin back into your life. Find those older sisters, those sisters in Christ here at CCW that have war rooms, that have prayer rooms, that have made this their way, and learn from them. Get to know what they do.
Proverbs 31:25 says she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come.
Your dignity does not come from your looks or your career, and it doesn't even come from all your to-do list. Your dignity comes in knowing Jesus Christ and living under the security of who you are in Christ and who God is. So please hear me say that. Now, my favorite part of this is she can laugh at the days to come. She knows who her God is and where her wisdom comes from. She has an eternal perspective, a soul sufficiency, and a peace separate from her circumstances. Girls, if you know, like I know, that the news brings fear in me and it sends me on a worry streak that I don't need to have, then don't watch it. Don't watch it. Those things that are needless, those things that we worry about and we're fearful about that take away that strength, that zap us of our joy, look into what that is in your life. And the one example I have of laughing at the days to come is really interesting because as a little girl, my great-grandmother had dementia. And they called it hardening of the arteries. She suffered from these things. And all I can remember is my mom and grandmother would have the most fun. They would all have fun together because they took a situation that was just hard. But when she saw pink elephants outside in the yard, they would talk to her about them. And as a little girl, I'm thinking, I didn't know the difference. I thought, wow, this is really, grandma, she, you know, all these things I'm thinking, but I come away from that going, they laughed at the days to come. They didn't let it just demolish who they were as beautiful women of God. And I'm so, so thankful for that. So it all comes down to this. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all her hands have done. Let her works bring her praise in the city gates. I pray, ladies, for you, that you will become those women, not bought into all the changes, because my goodness, things change. We change. Seasons change. And those of us 50 and over know better than anything that those things happen. You girls are going through a ton of things in your life, and I get it, and I know that. But remember that charm is deceptive. Beauty's for a short time. But that fear of the Lord, that cultivation of your garden of flowers for the Lord, is to be praised. Mm-hmm. So, my friends, what is this biblical womanhood? What is biblical womanhood are all these precious women in my life? These women in my life, thank God, are still all here. My grandmother turned 93 this year, and I still get to be in her presence laughing with her. My mother. So I'm thankful for June Walker, for Sheila Dunham, for Mary Kay Cox, for Lucille Johnson, for Jennifer Lee, Paula Lee, Shannon Lee, Kaylee Morrissey, Reva Caputo. These women have been biblical, godly women in my life pouring into me. So how can I not pour into others? So thank you so much for the opportunity, girls, to stand here and be able to talk to you. And just thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I think Proverbs 31 paints a great picture of what biblical womanhood looks like. So who comes to your mind? As Lisa mentioned, her family. I know she has a lot of dear friends here, people that, you know, I don't know where, you know, where we'd be without a number of y'all. I didn't plan on this. Woo! it's all this girl talk.
Do you need some fishing
nets or
something?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. There's a picture, I'm sure, in your mind. And, you know, Lisa said to me, just to kind of spend time around ladies who have been there and done that or 20, 30 years ahead of her and say, you know, this is what I want to be like when I'm, you know, Lord willing, if, you know, when I get that way. Because you have to start living that way now. You know, you can't just wait till you're then, you know. And it's great practice to think that way. And another question is what will you do? How will you apply this wisdom to your life? And two words come to my mind, because we're not perfect, and Lisa's not perfect, and, you know, neither am I, and neither are you. But God gives us these like shots in the arm, these beautiful flowers to pick and to apply to our lives. And two words come to my mind. One is the word be, and the other word, not bees like on flowers, but B-E, be, and become. The word be and become. You can become a woman of God. And if you're not a woman of God, or maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, you don't understand who he is, and maybe this is all new to you, please do whatever you need to do to find the answers you need. Ask questions. Get into a small group. Ask one of the girls in the aisle with you. Talk with them. Ask questions about Jesus, because I promise he will create. Watch how Jesus treated the women that he was around in the New Testament. It's remarkable. He's got a life for you. Give your life to Christ. Be baptized into him. Understand what it means to be forgiven and free to live for Jesus. Become a woman of God. And if you are a woman of God, if you are a follower of Jesus, be his. Be his. As a man, I can tell you that is the best thing you can possibly do. I mean, don't look at the woman next to you or the person across the aisle or even your own household. Be his first, and all these things will be added to you as well. Become, be, give your life to him, be his, be in his. He's your Father in heaven. Embrace who you are and who he made you to be today, right now. This is important that you hear this. You are loved by God. I mean, you are honored. You are daughters of the King. As I said before, you are good enough. Good enough that Jesus came from heaven to earth and died on the cross for your sins. You're good enough. When you doubt yourself for who you are, embrace your Father and know that he loves you. And know that we love you as well. You, grow in him. Become who God made you to be. You can do it. You got to start somewhere. Why not? Why not today? In a place like Proverbs chapter 31. That's what we're here for. That's what this church is all about. And we want to create environments where you can grow, where you can be with other women, where you can be encouraged by the guys around here, where you can come and worship and understand who Jesus is. Join a women's discipleship group if you've never given that a try. In fact, Lisa will be up here after this song we're about to sing. She'll be up here with the women's discipleship team, and you can meet with them. Our prayer team will be up here. They'll help you get plugged in. As Josh mentioned earlier, go to the Next Steps desk out in the foyer and get online. Join a small group. See what that's like. Get plugged in. Get involved. And if we can help you do that, please allow us to help you do that. And I think the best thing we can do this morning, like we did last week for the gentlemen, would it be all right if we prayed for you today, ladies? Would that be all right? I hope so, because we're going to do it, all right? Again, as much as you feel comfortable, I'm going to ask everyone in the room to just stand, and we're just going to lift you up and pray on your behalf. We're going to give God praise for you, and thank God for you, for who you are. So just take a look around the room. Look at the women around you, and let's go to God in prayer. And then we'll sing to close our service together. Dear Heavenly Father, you are all that we need. And we thank you so much for your love for us. And God, I thank you for how you have loved me through the women in my life, starting with the one right next to me. Thank you for the way Lisa loves me. And God, I thank you on behalf of all the men here for the women that love us. Whether it's our wife, our moms, our daughters, our sisters, maybe as someone with an encouraging word or maybe just a kind word on a Sunday when we needed it. God, I thank you for the women in this place and what they mean to your kingdom and what they mean to this church and what they mean to us. And God, right now, it's your precious gift. I lift your daughters up to you, God. I pray for them. God, I pray that you would give them peace, that you would fill them with your Spirit. Help them to know the strength that comes from you, not from the world, not from anyone else. And God, we lift them up to you, knowing that you will do that by the power of your Spirit in their lives. God, they are a rare find, and we celebrate them. We honor our women today. And we ask you, God, to help them as they strive to take care of the people that are important to them in their lives, their families, meeting the needs of others, even themselves. We pray for them. God, I pray for these women as perhaps they're busy or maybe have a lot of concerns or doubts about themselves or the world around them. God, please give them courage. Give them strength because we know you will clothe them with dignity and strength. God, we pray for them. We lift them up to you. And Lord, it is all of our prayer, men and women, children, every single one of us, God, that we would be more like your son, Jesus, every single day. God, we look at his example. We look at what he did for us on the cross, and that he rose from the grave that we might have life and life in you. So we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the power of his name. We thank you, God, that you've given us a perfect example of what it means to be human, not just man or woman, but to be human and to be your kids. So God, I pray today especially that as we do that together, your sons and daughters, and especially your daughters, that they would just crawl up in your lap today, tomorrow, this week, and embrace you as their father and hear your words. God, we love them so much. We know you love them even more. So God, we do. We pray for our women today, for each of us. We give you praise. We give you thanks. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together.